I am on live. I am live. Amen. Let us pray for the word. Father, thank you that we've been here this morning. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for all that you have spoken to us already through the saints, through our worship, through scriptures that have been read, through pictures, through visions, through prophecies. Hallelujah. Through testimony. I thank you, Father, for all that you have said to us already this morning. And I thank you, Father, that you're now about to build on that as we gather around your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the incorruptible truth. Thank you for these incorruptible seeds that we can sow in our heart. Thank you for the process that you have instigated, Father, of seed time and harvest and growth. So in accordance with your word, I speak our understanding for the saints as these seeds are sown into their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. Welcome to those of you that are joining us now online. Good to have you with us. I know we will have Adrian. Hi, Adrian. How are you doing? That's not prophetic. That's not a word of knowledge. He texted me yesterday, said he just felt like the Lord was saying to him, you need to listen to the message from MGF tomorrow. So, yes, it's for you, Adrian. But it's also for every single one of us and everybody else that's listening online. So great to be back. Great to be amongst the saints. You know what? I didn't realize how much I missed it until this morning. I was saying to Nunzi yesterday, I love going away, but I hate going away. You know, I like being in new places. That the drive, I have to say, the drive from New York up to Boston and then up through the woods to New Hampshire was just amazing. Just about a week too early. It's just, the leaves are just starting to turn. It's going to be awesome. So I love being in these places, but I hate being away from home. Saying that, yes, it's not good for me and my mental well-being. But so I love getting home. That was lovely this morning. That was awesome. Great to be amongst the saints again. Really missed the fellowship. But I'm sure you got on well without me. Yeah. Well, I knew I'd get a yes from Carol there. I could have put money on that. Excellent. So I'm going to start this morning with something I've never done before. I'm going to start with a quote from Robbie Burns. Yeah, now I don't like Robbie Burns. I don't know him. I'm not a huge fan of his poems. But as I was getting ready for the sermon this week, this line of this poem came to mind on Friday. It's called "The Best Laid Schemes o' Mice and Men Gang Aft Agley." Now that means your plans go wrong, go astray. You have to change them. Because I spent a fair bit of time on the plane and then also in the States preparing for the sermon today. And carrying on with 1 Thessalonians 3. Spent a lot of time meditating on Thessalonians 1, Thessalonians 3. Getting a really good message for you this morning. And then Nunzi preaches for a couple of weeks. And her parting shot was, maybe we should spend some time studying the love of God. So Friday morning, I started again. I started on a new sermon for this morning. But my mind was going all the way through the Bible study. And I found this passage, and I was already preparing my mind map as we were studying on Thursday night. So turn with me to 1 John, 1 John 4, and I'm going to read from verse 7. So just listen, not that you don't always listen carefully, but listen carefully to these scriptures. Let them wash over you. Let them get into your heart and just meditate on these words. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Amen. Familiar passage. I think we all know it. We could all probably quote snippets of it. It's an awesome passage about his love. It's an awesome passage about the gospel of grace, about how you're saved. All about the love of God. And I think we all know this. You know, it talks about what God's love is, what it can do for us, but also what it expects of us, what we can do through knowing the love of God. So it's quite there's a challenge in there. There's an expectation. But it's also comforting. We'll see about that later. And I think Nunzi quite rightly said the last couple of weeks, we all need a deeper revelation about God's love. But she kind of went a little bit further. No, it's a deeper revelation of God's love for us. Not as a group, but as individuals. So we all need that deeper revelation of God's love for me. And we all need that. And if any one of us says, you know, we know about the love of God, you clearly don't. Because it's one of those topics, like for me, it's like righteousness. I think I've got a great grasp on righteousness, but I don't know it. Don't know it all. It's always something new to learn. There's always some deeper revelation. And I think that's especially true about the love of God. If we think we know it, we don't. Amen. It has depths to it, our understanding about God's love towards us. It has depths. It has layers of revelation. You can all go deeper. You can all go further. We've all seen the analogy of peeling off the layers of skin of an onion. You can go deeper and deeper till you get right into the middle. We can all go deeper and further with this topic. And Nunzi encouraged us to do that. And the Bible does tell us we can know all about the love of God. It tells us we can do that. Now, tells us that it's possible. Is it probable that we're going to know everything we know about the love of God this side of the grave? I think probably not, but that's just because I personally believe that most of us will pass over at the other side with an unrenewed mind, or parts of our mind unrenewed. So I don't think we'll ever get to the bottom of his love while we're alive on this earth. But that shouldn't stop us trying to learn. Paul says we have learned. That implies to me that you need to keep learning. There's always something extra to learn. So we can continue to learn. And as Nunzi suggested, we can all kind of make a promise to learn more. And I think we should make a commitment to learn more. Not just to learn more, but to learn more about the love of God. But yeah, learn more about forgiveness, learn more about righteousness, learn more about salvation. Because basically they're all expressions of his love. But I think we should learn more about the love of God. And I think that's a great idea. Hence, when I listened to our sermon just before the Bible study on Thursday, I was kind of thinking, aha, need to change tack, need to prepare a new sermon. So hence the change. Now, I don't plan to go through to do my usual verse by verse of 1 John 4:7-21, because I'll be here all Christmas. But there were things that jumped out of me as I started reading that, started to meditate on those verses. Things jumped out at me, kind of like what you might say highlights, I suppose, for me, of this, what I think is an absolutely delightful passage, but challenging. I mean, you expect me to love every brother? It's like, no offense, obviously present company excluded, but Lord, have you seen some of the saints? I mean, do you know what like they are? Kind of, and do you know the folk that are out there? You expect me to love everybody? Well, he does. But the good news is he equips you. He equips us. So let's stop the pointy finger. Let's talk about us. So, yeah, it's the delightful yet challenging passage. Because, like, as well as telling us how much God loves us, which is great, I'm sure we would love to just stop there. Just let's keep reading about God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. Oh, yeah, but remember, because of that, you've got to love everybody else. So we have some expectations put on us flowing from this love. Maybe more on that later. But as I was reading that, and I was thinking about how much God loves us and what God's love displays, there was twice in this passage, there's a three-word phrase that jumped out at me. And I think we just need to step back a little bit and look at that phrase before we talk a bit more about how much God loves us. So 1 John 4:8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." God is love. Now, this verse doesn't say God loves us. It doesn't say God is loving. It doesn't say God loves things. He loves his creation. He loves his people. But there's this simple phrase that God is love. Love is really not an attribute of God. Love is really not a characteristic of God. It says God is love. Love is his very nature. Love is his true nature. Love is the be-all and the end-all of God. His whole being is permeated with love. His whole being is love. Second famous quote of today. Today is a day of quotes. I was thinking about this, and this thought came into my mind. Does anyone know famously what Descartes said? Yes. Or Descartes, if you... "I think, therefore I am." And I thought, you know, if God had a saying like that, it would be, "I love, therefore I am." And I love that because it's "I am." I love, therefore I am. That's a really good, if you're listening, God, you can have that. Yeah, you can say that about yourself. I'm sure he's thought of it. And well, I'd like to think that that prompting of me was from the Holy Spirit. So, see, God cannot do anything other than love. Because he is love. He's nothing else. So if he's got nothing else in his character, he can't be anything but loving, lovely, do good things. Because God is love. Tozer. Anyone ever read Tozer? Some of it's good. Nunzio, he's a bit legalistic sometimes, heavily legalistic. But sometimes, you're right, he said, nothing God ever does or ever did or ever will do is separate from the love of God. Nothing God ever does or ever did or ever will do is separate from the love of God. Because he cannot be separated from love because he is love. It's difficult to teach on this because it is such a simple phrase. God is love. And he loves us because he can't help himself. He can't not love us. Because his true nature, his entire being is love. It's like the words of God being the truth. He cannot say anything other than truth. He cannot lie because he is truth. So he cannot do or say or be anything other than love. That is his being. His existence is love. Love is his state of being. In a sense, for God, it's not about what he does. It's about who he is, what he is. Although, of course, time and time again in the Word, we see that he loves us. He's healed us. That's loving. He's prospered us. That's loving. He has provided all we need for life and godliness. That's loving. He's forgiven us. Loving. Reconciled us. Loving. Adopted us into his family. Loving. Why does he do all these things? Because he's love. Can't do anything else. See, when I was thinking about this, when we get back to just first principles, back to absolute basics, in a sense, although this does come out of what he is, he doesn't do what he does for us because he loves us. You might think, well, where are you going with your Vic? That sounds a bit weird. He doesn't do all these things because he loves us. He does all these things because he is love.
Amen.
And he can't help himself. That's his nature. He cannot do anything else. And I thought about this until now, but nothing we can do can change that. We can't change his love towards us because he is love. Nothing that we can do can turn him into evil. Because that's the opposite. He cannot do anything else. Now you may be thinking, well, Vic, I've read my Old Testament. You can be like a Dawkins, you can be like a Stephen Fry. I've read my Old Testament. I've read pre-cross and before the era of grace. And there's a lot of things that God does doesn't look very loving. Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. We see death. We see destruction. We see disobedience and then punishment. And the Old Testament does provide big sticks for folk like Stephen Fry. You know, how dare God give children malaria? Well, you're not quite right there, Stephen. That's not God giving kids malaria. You know, how dare God do this, do that, and do the next thing? And Dawkins and Stephen Fry use these things to beat up God and speak out about Christianity and about religion and about faith. But these things that were done to individuals and groups was not against individuals and groups. They were against sin. And if you read your word, they were for the ultimate good of mankind. They were loving acts to mankind as a whole. Well, why? Because he's love. And out of that, he loves mankind. If we analyze the Old Testament, we analyze pre-cross word systematically, knowing with hindsight what was to come. You see, a lot of what people think as bad things from God being required to bring about the very good things of God, required to bring about the birth of Jesus Christ. They were all about dealing with sin. God had to deal with sin so that there were prophets to speak about the Messiah, so that there was a virgin to carry Jesus, so that there was a John the Baptist to proclaim his coming. I mean, that there was a nation of Israel to look out for the Messiah. All that preparation that we read about in the Old Testament before the birth of Jesus was done out of love. So, you know, these guys that complain about, they talk about God being schizophrenic. You know, he was an evil God before Jesus and a good God afterwards. No, he was a good God. Everything that he has done, although to our peanut brains might look harsh and hard and judgmental, was done out of love. Because he is love. Everything that he did, sometimes we just cannot comprehend it with our brains. But he's always been good to mankind. He's always been loving to mankind. He's always been looking forward to a time when mankind could be in salvation and be righteousness and forgiven. Why? Because he's love. So that's the first thing we need to try and meditate on. Nunzi's suggestion that we need to get a deeper revelation of his love for us. We need to know and know and know that actually his true nature, his very essence is love. And then we kind of start from there. And then 1 John 4:9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." God is love, and that love has been made manifest. Manifest means brought into being so that we can see it in the physical. We can see, we can feel, we can know his love. Now this verse is quite specific. It's talking about the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The greatest expression of love in the history of mankind, Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, dwelling among men. Jesus came, dwelt among men, God sent him. To me, that is the ultimate manifestation of the love of God. And we saw it, we know about it. We can see it in his word made manifest there. But his love is made manifest in many ways for us. I've spoken about it, healing, prosperity, adoption, righteousness, forgiveness. That's love made manifest. And the main way that we are going to know about his love, see about his love, and I'm going to get on my old soapbox, is in his word. Personally, I think it is better to see his love through the word. Yes, we can feel. Yes, we can experience his love. But sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes we can feel God's love and then the next day we don't. And then the day after that, we feel his love, and the day after that, we don't. Does his love come and go? No. To make yourself comfy. We can think it has gone away. But that's not true. He is always here. He will never leave us nor forsake us, the Word of God says. But we know that, don't we? He always loves us. So it's better, in my humble opinion, to have knowledge rather than experience over everything, but in this area. When I'm talking about things of the Word. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't put words in my mouth like some people have done previously. I am not against feelings. I am not against experience. I am not devaluing your experiences. I am not devaluing your feelings. And I've upset people in the past who are no longer sitting in this fellowship. I've upset people in the past who thought they heard me saying, I don't value your experience. No, that's not true. I just value the Word over experience. It's not that I don't value your experience. I'm not against experiences. If you have tangibly felt and experienced the love of God in your life, awesome, brilliant, really pleased for you. But you know what? That comes and goes. Experiences, feelings, emotions come and go. But to know that God loves us, or that God loves me, or that God loves you, that's the key. See, I think experiences, feelings come and go. This type of knowledge is eternal. Once you know it, you know it. God loves me. Don't care what it feels like today. God loves me. I've got the cares of the world on my shoulder, and I feel like God is 50,000 miles away. But I know he loves me. I know he's still in me. I know he never leaves me or forsakes me. If you can know that, that's much better than a goosebump or a feather or gold dust. We once had a teacher up in our Bible study. You know, teachers visiting people come and go, and they can say what they want because they don't have to deal with the aftermath. So sometimes they can say some of the things that a pastor wants to say but can't really say. And I remember sitting in a Bible study one night, and this lady was going on about how she heard about someone had found gold dust in their Bible. And oh, it's fantastic, brilliant. She said, well, what should I do if I find gold dust in my Bible? He said, blow it out and read the words. Now, a bit flippant, but I think for me, that kind of just kind of highlighted it's the importance of the words is key. Now, if you've had manifestations, once or twice I actually felt sort of oiliness and smelt roses in my palm. And lots of folk talk about that. Happened to me a couple of times, but it was so many years ago. More often than not, I've forgotten about that. But I'll never forget he never leaves me nor forsakes me. That's when I got those smells, that was amazing. It was fantastic. It was awesome. But that didn't last for long. But I know he will never leave me nor forsake me. I think it's Hebrews 13:5. I don't think it really matters if you don't know the chapter and verse, as long as you know the scripture. Is it Hebrews 13:5? Thank you. My number two theological advisor there tells me it is Hebrews 13:5. Amen. Yeah, we've all got our favorites. We all know our favorites, don't we? So it's great to feel that. My feelings come and go, and they're not always here. Knowledge is eternal. Now, you all know I am a grandfather. Well, I'm not actually. I am a Drowdo. I used to be Drowdy when she was young and cute. But now I'm a Drowdo because she's a teenager and a bit more trendy. So I'm a Drowdo. That's what Lydia calls me. I love being a Drowdo. I was telling Nunzi, I heard Lisa shouting when I was down in Edinburgh, Dad, Dad. So Drowdo along with Dad are two of my most favorite words. Love those words. Two of my favorite words to hear. When I heard Lisa shouting, Dad, there was something just leapt inside of me. just this joy. Now, I know I'm a dad. I don't have my kids here today, but I know I'm a dad. I don't have to experience standing next to them to know I'm a dad. And I know I'm a Drowdo. I love being a Drowdo. I don't have to see Lydia or be with Lydia to change that fact. I know that truth. I am a Drowdo. Now, I love being with Lydia. You know, seeing her grow, seeing her develop, seeing her succeed, spoiling her in cafes. You know, because she used to go to a cafe with her mum, she got a hot chocolate or a tiffin. What does she get with Drowdo? Both. Hot chocolate and tiffin and anything else she wants. Why? Because allegedly, I don't believe it, but allegedly she can wrap her Drowdo round her little finger and get whatever she wants. Yeah, but now it's taking her to work, it's picking her up from work. But I don't need that to know I'm a Drowdo. I do love experiencing being a Drowdo and being with her. But I don't need that because I know I'm a Drowdo. I kind of don't know if I'm making sense here, but I'm trying to stress to you the importance of knowing God loves you rather than having to feel God loves you, rather than having to be in his presence, rather than have him manifest. Feelings, emotions, goosebumps, experiences come and go. Knowledge is eternal and does not change. And his word is where we can find out about his love with 100% accuracy. Now, yes, we can find it through experience, through feelings, through emotions, through goosebumps. Yeah, I get that. But are they all 100% accurate? I don't think so. His word is where we find out about his love with 100% accuracy. Now, again, I try not to be flippant here, okay? But you may be in a period of your life where you're not feeling his love. That means nothing. You know, it might be particularly difficult if you're kind of going through that kind of situation at the moment, and I might sound flippant. But I have to be honest and say, right now, in this period of my life, I don't actually feel the love of God that much. I've felt it a lot more in the past. But that means nothing. Yeah, because his love is always here. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. If you know those words, if you know the scriptures, the fact that you're not feeling it, or let's say the fact that we are not feeling it, is irrelevant. Now, it mightn't feel irrelevant to you, but actually, in the overall scheme of things, it's irrelevant. Because it's the word. It's the truth in scripture that's important. Now, awesome, if you are in a period of your life where you are feeling the awesome love of God and his immense love, and you're enjoying it, and you're focusing on it, and it's really speaking to you, awesome, fantastic, that's brilliant. Now, I'm not speaking death. But your life won't always be like that. It's what we see. I mean, Andrew Womack talks about it. He had that awesome feeling of the love of God, and then it went away. So did God go away? No. The feelings, the experiences, the emotions, what we feel, that's what went away. So if you are in a period of your life when you're not feeling that love, or if you're in a period of your life where, yes, it is awesome, it may go away. And at that time, at that point, you need to know Hebrews 13:5. You need to know Hebrews 13:8. You need to know 1 John 4. You need to know John 3:16. That's what we need to know. When we're in a period that we may not be feeling his love, we need to stand on those scriptures. What was that? Root yourself firmly. Was that the firmly root yourself? Was that the phrase that Prince Charles spoke about? Firmly stand, firmly root yourself. Have I got that completely wrong? Jane Eyre said that. Jane Eyre, King Charles. A profound personal commitment. I think I need King Charles, sorry. Jane Eyre, Prince Charles, King Charles. What did Jane Eyre say? That's what I was thinking about. What did Jane Eyre say? There I plant my foot. Yeah. Okay. So if you go through a period of your life when you feel like God is not there and he's gone away, no, plant your feet firmly. And John 3:16, Hebrews 13:5, Hebrews 13:8, 1 John chapter 4, Psalm 139, or is it 100, which is the 139, fearfully, wonderfully made? That's the one. See, I'm looking at you're it now, Pauline. You need to be prepared. Okay, Ephesians 3:17. A-E-I-E. Ephesians 3:17? No. Oh, it's Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians 3:17 says, I wish I could edit this, but no. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Awesome. So yeah, when we're going through a period of maybe not feeling the love of God, we need to stand firm in the scriptures that we know. Now that's really important, in the scriptures that we know. Because this is, you know, looks nice on a bookshelf, but that's probably all it's going to do if you don't know it. If you don't know it. His word needs to be our constant, our anchor, not our feelings, our emotions, our experiences, amen. It's the word that needs to be our constant and our anchor. Quickly. Took longer than I expected. Quickly, I will talk of the challenges and the expectations. Yeah, I'm going to finish with the hard stuff. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. I mean, that's easy because in this church, we're all lovely. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. 1 John 4:11 says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God loves repetition. If he repeats something, it's important. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. We are to love one another. We are to love God. We are to love our brothers. Really, we need to love everyone and everything. It's what that's saying. Now, that sounds hard. You know, it's not hard. It's flipping impossible if you try to do it yourself. If we're trying to do it in our own strength. But each of these expectations flows from something, starts with something else. It always comes from his love. It always comes from the love of God. We can love because he loved us. We can love others because he loved us. We can love our brother if we love God, and we love God as he loved us. Can you see that? Every expectation starts with his love. I would suggest it starts with a knowledge of his love. We can't give what we don't know. I can't teach you how to build a bridge, because I don't know how to build a bridge. can teach you all about whiskey because I know about whiskey. I can't teach you about love if I don't know it. You can't display something if you don't know it. You've got to know something to give it. So we can only love our brothers if we know God loves us. We can only love God if we know God loves us. We love him because he loved us first. Knowledge is the key. And that is found in his word. Like this passage, 1 John 4. This is a passage we ought to be in constantly in this season. That in 1 Corinthians 13, Psalm 139. There are passages about the love of God. That we, if we're serious about taking on this commitment and wanting to know more about the love of God, you know, we shouldn't tread carefully, Vic. What we shouldn't be doing is sitting and praying and asking for God to display his love to us. Why should we not be asking for that? He's already done it. It was manifested to us in 1 John 4, verse 9. With what he's already displayed his love. Give me your love. That's a stupid thing to ask for. Why should we not be asking for that? Because it's been shed abroad in our hearts through Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It's there. So we need to be careful what we pray for. Now, I'm not telling you not to pray. That's not what I'm saying. Yes, pray. But a safer thing to do to get it right, just read his word. Read 1 John 4, 7 to 21 1,000 times. Write it out. Speak it out. Look at yourself in the mirror and read it out. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words about Christ. It's all about Christ. This is a passage we ought to be constantly in this season if we're serious. Timely reminder from Nunzi was to challenge us to commit to learning more about the love of God. 1 John 4, 7 to 21, great place to start. It is the chapter about the love of God. Hallelujah. So I hope that's very short meditation for me, 15 verses. I mean, I didn't cover them all, but I hope that encourages you to delve deeper and study for yourself. That's the key. The key is not what I say on a Sunday morning. The key is not even what Nancy says on a Sunday morning, Carl. It's what we do in a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, throughout the week, what we do with that. That's why I like us discussing the sermon on a Thursday, because the sermon is the first word, not the last word. So I challenge you to encourage you to delve deeper and study for yourself, because God is a good God. God is a loving God. Why? Because God is love. That's his being. That's his nature. He only is love. He only can love. And I just think, thank goodness, because and knowing what I'm like, he even loves me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.